Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the bottom line. In our previous shir, we had learned that Amar Ravim Bachinana Amar Ula Amar Bachanina Halacha Krav Shimon Suri, that the halacha files are like Krav Shimon Shizuri, and then continued making a statement V'loyoid Al Kamak Mishan Rav Shimon Shizuri, wherever we have an opinion stated by Rav Shimon Shizuri, halacha ma'isai, that is the halacha. And the Gemara attempted to identify what was being referred to. And the Gemara made a number of attempts in our previous year to identify, unsuccessfully. So the Gemara begins to try again to identify what was this referring to. It says the Gemara, Elam Rapapa Asheda. It's referring to the halacha of the backs, which we're going to discuss in a moment. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it's referring to the halacha of wine, which we will be in Mitzvah Shem discussing. Mar explains. The Papa, Mar Papa says it's referring to Sheda, the Tanan, the Mishnah, Masech, the Kalim, Perek Yud Ches, Mishnah Aleph teaches us, Hateva, which is a chest made out of wood. That's the way most Rishonim explain what we speak here about a Sheda. We're talking about this type of a box. Rashi says that the Sheda we're speaking about here is a wagon, the carriage of a wagon that's made out of wood, that has walls, and that's where people sit as they travel with a horse, a wagon. If that's the case, however, Tosfos says, then for sure such a wagon should be mekabel, such a carriage should be mekabel tuma, irrespective of what we're going to be discussing, its size. Because, says Tosfos, if that's what we're speaking about, this carriage, so it's a place that's meant for sitting. And we've learned many times that something that was meant to be sat on is always mekabel tumas medris, no matter what material it's made out of. And that's why Tosfos explains that we're talking about a chest that's meant for storage. Says the Gemara, Asheda, the Tanan Asheda, the Mishnah, as we just said, discussing this box, discusses what is the size of the box when it is Mekabel Tumah, and when is it too big that it's no longer be Mekabel Tumah. And the reason is, as the Torah Gedoshah, when it talks about something made out of wood, says, Mikol Kli Eitz Oy Beger Oy Or Asak. And Chazal, many times in Shas, teach us, Mas Sak, Metatla Mal Ureikon, bag, a sack, is something that's carried when it's full and when it's empty. Afko Metatla Mal Ureikon. Something to be Mekabel Tumah, it has to be something that could be transported when it's full and when it's empty. When you have a very large chest, if it holds, then it can't be moved when it's full because it's too large, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. So the Mishnah over there focuses what is the shear when it's to be Mekabel Tumah, because the halacha is that if it's an amma by an amma by a height of 3 ammas, it's no longer going to be Mekabel Tumah. So how do we measure that shear? We measure it from the inside of the box. If it holds that much space, then it's Mekabel Tumah. Less than that space, it's Mekabel Tumah. That amount or more, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Beis Hillel holds that we measure it from the outside. It says Beis Hillel that since what is considered to make it, is it transportable or not, is the weight. Something that's too heavy can't be moved. So explains the Tiferes Yisrael that once it's that weight, it's not going to be considered like a sack. And when we talk about the weight, of course, we have to consider not just the internal area, but the outside as well. The Chaznish takes a different approach to this entire discussion. Chazanish's approach to this is that all shurim, or whenever the halacha speaks about a shir, the halacha is focused. It's all halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore here too, we aren't to discuss. We aren't to view this gemara any different than halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What is the shir, and how do we measure the shir for Kabbalah's tuma? Beisil Aaron ben Mechutz continues the Mishnah. Umaydim. Now, of course, the question is, how do we do this measurement? And the Shita Mekabetzah says, we take a very large vessel, a swimming pool full of water, and we put this box into the swimming pool, and we see how much water was displaced. If 40 saw of liquid was displaced, then we know it's too big. If not, not. Continues the Mishnah to teach us, says the Gemara, both Beshame and Beisela agree, Shein Oive Haraglayim, the width of the feet of the box. Vav Alavazin, they had like a border around the box. Nimdad, it's not included in coming to measure the shear. Yosemer, Moidim, the Beisham Beisela agree, Oive Haraglayim, that they are included. So, ask the Shita Mekabetzas, how can we say that Rabbi Yossi says that Beishamai agrees that we include the measurement of the feet of the backs? We just learned that Beishamai is of the opinion that we only view the inside of the back. We don't even view the width of the outside walls of the backs. And therefore, certainly, how could one suggest the Beis Shammai will say that we measure the legs as part of the shear? So he says that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that the Beis Shammai actually agrees that we do measure the outside of the box. We don't measure just the inside of the box. And now he comes along to say that not only do we measure the outside of the box, but we include the legs and the lazer. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Moidim, Beisham and Beisela both agree. Sha'ove Haraglaim, Va'ove Alavazazin Nindad. Obineim, the space between the legs on the bottom of the backs, Ain and Nindad, we don't include that space where we're measuring. Shimish Zuri, Omer, Im Ha'yuraglaim Gvoyas Tafach, if the legs are Tafach or higher or longer, Ain Beineim Nindad, the area, the space in between, is not included. However, in Lav, if that area in between the legs, the height of the legs, is less than a tefach, b'neim nimdad. And that's what, says the Gemara, Rav Chanina came to teach us, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazurim. This halacha, regarding the height of the legs, when we include that space and when we don't include that space. Nachman Bayitzchak says, the Gemara says that where is this halacha? What is the halacha that Rav Chanina came to teach us? The halacha is like Shimon Shazuri. It's referring to Yayin. It's referring to the halacha of wine, which means as far as Hilchas Tuma V'Tahara, we know that whenever we speak about Tuma Tahara, there are different levels of tumma. There's the ava tumma, like a zava, the yeladis and the vela, and then afterwards we go down. Something comes into contact with ava tumma, it becomes a rishonal tumma. Something comes in contact with rishonal tumma, it becomes a shenil tumma, and so on. Shlishi is the furthest degree for truma, and revi for kachim. But there's a special rule that there are a number of special rules. A sheretz is able to impart tumma to other v'kelim, the people and the kelim, oichlam and mashkin. Rishon l'tumma, that means, for example, a person who came in contact with a sheretz, he doesn't have the ability to make other v'kelim tumma, but he can make oichlam v'mashkin tumma. A sheni l'tumma, that means a food that came in contact with a rishon l'tumma, as we said, only makes truma kachim, tumma, and by shlishi could only make kachim. This, everything we just spoke about just now was regarding food. But when we speak about mashke, when we speak about liquids, when we speak about beverages, whether if the mashke came in contact with avatoma, or came in contact with a rishla toma, or came in contact with a shenli toma, there's a new halacha that mashke that came in contact with these three different degrees of toma will become a rishla toma, and it continues that way. That if this mashke, which we just identified as a rishla toma, comes in contact with another mashke, that mashke will be a rishla toma. That's the special halacha of mashkin. So says the Gemara, that Rav Nachman Yitzchak says Rav Chanina was referring to halacha that's regarding wine. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Taharos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, teaching us this halacha about mashkin and the Kabbalah's tuma mashkin, says Rav Meir Omer, Shem Tchilal Olam, oil that came in contact with anything that's tamei will be a rishon l'tuma. That means he's saying that shemen, that oil, is considered a mashka. And therefore, since it's considered a mashka, the special gzeira chazal, that mashkin always become a rishon l'tuma, applies by shemen. The reason chazal differentiated between mashkin and oichlin is because oichl, as we often learn, has a special rule that could only be makabel tuma if it was mukshel kabel tuma. It became wet first. Mashkin doesn't have that halacha. That's why Chazal said mashkin always becomes a rishon l'tuma, no matter what it touched. The chamaymer afadvash, that honey is also considered like a mashka. Rav Shimon Shizuri Aimer, Rav Shimon Shizuri says that afayayin, that even wine is considered a liquid. That's the way Rashi explains this Gemara, this Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that obviously if the oil or the wine is liquid, of course they're mashka. We're speaking about a case where they congealed. And Ramey is teaching us that oil that congealed, it's still considered a mashka, that it will always become a rishon l'tuma. And the Chachamim said that not only is that halacha applicable by oil, but even by honey that got congealed, it's going to be considered a mashka. And now Rav Shimon Shizuri says that so is the halacha by wine that got congealed. That the Rambam, with a little different twist, very similar, says we're speaking about that the mashka got congealed and then it got liquefied and congealed again, that always the halacha is that it's always considered a liquid, even though if it gets hardened and liquefied, etc. This is a very interesting concept. The Tosfos says that we're speaking here about mashka that congealed, because there's a very big discussion in the Paiskim that many people use for Hanukkah, for lighting the menorah, the Hanukkah candles. They use these pre-filled cups. And the oil that's in those pre-filled cups is liquefied. So I saw a tshuva from Rav Ozenzatzal in the Shalz, a tshuva Shevet Alevi, that the reason the halacha tells us to use preferably olive oil for lighting the menorah on Hanukkah, because the olive oil is what was lit in the Beis HaMikdash in the menorah, so we want to do what was similar to that. But asks, so now the question is, if you're using the oil, these cups, these pre-filled cups that have the oil in it is congealed, will that be not fulfilling what the halacha wants us to do, the same as was done in the Beis HaMikdash? So based on this Tosfos, Rav Ozna says, first of all, he says in general, it's close enough. The congealed olive oil is close enough to being olive oil. But now that we learn Tosfos, and Tosfos is saying that our Gemara is actually coming to teach us that congealed olive oil has the full-fledged halacha of olive oil, certainly there's no question that the oil in those cups may be used. Shem Shizurim Afa Yain says the Gemara, does that mean Mechlal the Tanakama? Does that mean to say that the Tanakama holds Yain Loi? Does that wine is not a mashka? And the Gemara's question is that if oil is a mashka and honey is a mashka, wine is certainly a mashka. So says the Gemara, Amr of Shimon Shizuri, I'm a Yayin. He spoke about wine, and Rav Shimon Shizuri is teaching us that wine is considered a mashka, but Rav Shimon Shizuri's opinion is that actually oil and honey are not considered mashkin, and now Rav Chanina came along to tell us that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shizuri, that only wine is considered a mashka, but shemen and dvash are not considered a mashka. Says the Gemara, Tanya, I'm Rav Shimon Shizuri. The Rav Shimon Shizuri told us, Pamach and Saravli Tevel, Tevel are produce from which Maisa was not removed. With Chulin, produce from which the Maisa was already removed. Now, Midaraisa, or the halacha always is, that we follow Roiv. And if we have Roiv here that was Mesukin, the halacha is that it's an that's enough how to make it bottle. However, the halacha is, the Rabbanan said, Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, that just like chita achas pateres tzekri, you just need one kernel to be able to take truma from a large bundle, so too the halacha is that the halacha is that a mashu is makes it usur. So now we another reason explains Tosfos why it never becomes mashu, because we know that one of the halachas that even a mashu doesn't become bottle is because we know the halacha is that a dovish yesh the matirim, something that becomes mutter never becomes bottle. So here we have a problem. We have this tevel that fell into the chulin, and now we have to take off Maisris, Trumas and Maisris from the part, from the Tevel part, and we can't take Trumas and Maisris from the part that already had Trumas and Maisris taken, because there's Alocha, we can't take Mi Haptor Alachiv. So the question is, what do we do with this mixture? It says the Marbos Vishalti is from Tarfin. I came to Reb Tarfon to ask him what to do. Vamli lech kach peris from the shuk, buy fruit in the shuk. And fruit from the shuk means that it's demai, because we know the Chazal taught us that when we buy produce from Nama Oritz, we need to be concerned that he didn't take off Maisris properly, and the halacha is that we have to take off again. Vasar lov, and take Maisris from that on this mixture. Why? Explains the Gemara. So because Rav Tarfon's opinion is the rice brew a bottle. Mid the rice we didn't have really an issue, because as we started, this tevel that fell in here was really bottle beroiv. And mid the rice that's good enough. Moreover, beroiv ami oritz masrumheim, we could assume that this demai, really the trumas and maestris, were taken off. The only reason we have to take off Trumas and Maisris now is because the new Gzeres Chazal of the Mai, Favale. So now we have two piles here. We have the pile of the Mai, where the obligation to take off Trumas and Maisris is only a Chiv the Rabbanan, Midaraisetz Potter. And we have the other pile of the Tevel that got mixed into the Chulin. So therefore, the Halacha will view this situation Ketayim and Aptor Aptor. Says the Gemara, why did Rav Tarfon give him this advice? V'leimalei, why didn't he just tell him, Lech kach menavit kachavim, take from, buy produce from a nachri. The produce that are brought from a nachri are also potem medaraisa and chai medrabonan. And again, we will accomplish the same thing that we're taking menaptor al aptor. Answers the Gemara, the reason Rav Tarfon wasn't able to offer such an approach is Kosovo, because his opinion is Ein kinyan loiv de kacham ba'eretz Yisrael af gim yad meiser. That even if a nochri owns produce in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make that it should not be chayiv in meiser. What is the basis for this opinion? The Gemara Masecht Megitin, Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph teaches us, the Pasuk says, V'oretz lo simoch l'tzmisus kli ha'oretz. And Chazal teaches, Kili kedushas ha'oretz. Eretz Yisrael always retains its kedusha. And the fact that a nochri owns property in Eretz Yisrael doesn't take away the chiv meisus. Another explanation is the pasuk says va'achal eretz le'simach le'tzmisus kili ha'aretz. The pasuk was saying le'simach le'tzlusus that the purchase of a nochri, a property in Eretz Yisrael, is never a full-fledged purchase. So if it's not a full-fledged purchase, it doesn't get potter from Isim. Another explanation I saw is the pasuk says regarding avodim kananim, v'snachaltem oisel v'nechem achrechem l'reshes achuzam. The Torah compares Eretz Yisrael to avodim. Just like the halacha is that avodim kananim are, you could buy them, but they can't own us. The same thing, we, of course, could purchase property in Eretz Yisrael, but Nochrim don't have the ability to have full-fledged ownership of property in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the produce that you bought from the Nochri is Mechuyiv Midaraisa in Trumas Amaisris. This mixture that we're speaking about is not Mechuyiv Midaraisa, and therefore taking from that produce that you bought for the Nochri on this mixture will be a situation of taking Menachiyah Valaptor. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of this discussion. And actually, when Rav Shimon Shazuri posed this question to Rav Tarfon actually suggested to him, Leich Kachman Avd Kachavim, go buy produce from the Nochri. Why? Because obviously, according to this version, Rav Tarfon's opinion is, Yesh Kinyan be the Nochri does have that ownership, and therefore there's no chiyuv truma meiser on the produce that you buy from the Nochri. And since there's no chiyuv truma meisers that you buy from the Nochri, so now taking from, it's only midrabanan, so the trumas and meisers that you're taking from the produce that you bought from the Nochri, have a min aptor ala aptor. Ask the Gemara the other way around. So why didn't he recommend that he should buy kach mishuk, buy demai, and take from the demai on this? Because he says, his opinion is, ain roiv ma'am yaretz ma'asrim. We can't assume that most nochrim own, take off trumas and maestris. So that means when you buy produce from an amaretz, you have to take off trumas and maestris midaraisa, so therefore it will be a case of an achiev al abtor. The Tosfos asks a question. First of all, what is the basis of the reason or the mandam that says that yesh kinyan loiv de kacham lafgimei yad meiser? So the Gemara over there, Masech de Gittin, explains. The pasuk says, Reishis de goncha tirosh v'yitzerecha titan li. And Chazal explained, de goncha v'loi dogen oiv de kachavim. The dogen of a nachri, since it comes from property that's owned by a nachri, is potter. The Yerushalmi suggests, because the pasuk says v'aruch le'aretz le'simach le'tzmisus kili ha'aretz, so the pasuk is saying that if it was sold, it sold le'tzmisus. It's a full fledged sale. So Tosfos asks the question: even if we say that a nachri doesn't own property in Eretz Yisrael to exempt it from Maisa, but we often discuss that at what point is the chiyuv Maiser come? When the miruach was done, the person who finished it off. And if the nachri are finished it off, so it would be potter, because the produce was processed by a nachri. So we're going to have to say that, even if we'll say that the nachri, so the Tori Evans says a very interesting pshat. He says, even if we'll say that the nachri was the one that did miruach, and since it was the nachri who did the miruach, It is a lower level. It's not chayiv deraisa. He says it's still not a very interesting approach. It's still not on the same level as something that's entirely potter, like the tevel that fell into the chulin mesukonim. And therefore, since it's different levels of chiyuv, the halacha is not going to allow you to take from the produce that you bought from the nachri on this tevel that got mixed in chulin. So we had here a very fundamental machlokes: if yesh kinyan la, if the nachri has ownership in Eretz Yisrael, and when we speak about to be mechayev trumas and maestros, this is a very interesting discussion. What is the halacha? Because it has a very significant ramification. The ramification it has is regarding the halacha of Shemitah. So we're not going into the discussion of the Het Mechira. But what is the halacha if you have property in Eretz Yisrael that's truly owned by non-Jews? And now the question is, if you have property in Eretz Yisrael that's truly owned by a non-Jew, and produce grows on that property in the Shemitah year, where we have all the restrictions of Shemitah, what would be the halacha regarding that produce? And it's machlokes. What is the halacha? It's a machlokes of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef's opinion is that if the Nachri truly owns property in Eretz Yisrael, that property does not have the din of Shemitah on it. That's the opinion of the Beis Yosef. However, the opinion of the Mabit is that, as we're learning now, that ain't kinyan la'akum, that the Nachri's ownership of property in Eretz Yisrael does not exclude it from the halacha of Shemitah. And therefore, just because the Nachri truly owns that property, it won't exclude it from Hilchos Shemitah. And actually, this machlokes, as I just stated, which is machlokes Rishonim, or the Beis Yosef Mabit, there are different communities in Eretz Yisrael that have different menhagim. Which opinion do we follow? The minig in Yerushalayim is that they follow the opinion of Beis Yosef. And property which is truly owned by Nachrim is part, they don't have a Shemitah issue with that produce growing on that property. The minig in Bnei Barak, the minig of the Chazon Ish, however, was that even if the property in Eretz Yisrael is truly owned by a Nachri, they paskin like the Mabit, that doesn't exclude it from Hilchos Shemitah. Says the Gemara Shalach Lei, Rav Yemer, Bashami, Rapapa. This statement that we just learned, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, and furthermore, wherever we have Rav Shimon Shazuri's opinion stated, that is the halacha. Af nisarv le tevel b'chulin. Even in this case, where the tevel and chulin got mixed up, do we say that halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri? Or then we say that halacha like Rav Shimon Shazuri, it only means when we're speaking, says the Gemara, it only means when we're speaking about a Mishnah, but not this, which is a Braisa. Amalei in, the halacha that Rav Chanina says that we always follow the opinion of Shimon Shazuri is also regarding what was taught in a Braisa. Amar Vashi, Amalei Mazutra, Kashmir Rav Chanina Mesura. Pshita, it's Pashut that the halacha is that Rav Chanina says that we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri even when it's in a braisa. Mi kama mishna seinu, because when Rav Chanina made his statement that we always paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri, let's look at what he said. Did he say that we always follow Rav Shimon Shazuri in a mishna? What he said was kamakam shoshana, wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri says something, that's the halacha, and that's why here too we're going to follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. Says the Mar Amar of Syria, Amar of Chanan, Amar Rav, Kra Habab Shnei Shitim. If we have a column in the Sefer Torah that has a rip, and the rip is between the letters, if, as the Rosh points out, this tear goes through a letter, then of course that's possible, because a letter has to be written properly for the Sefer Torah to be considered kosher. So here the rip, the tear went between the letters. The halacha is yitbar, that you should sew that tear up. If, however, this tear went three lows, b'sholosh, al yitbar. The halacha is that it shouldn't be sewed up. And the Rosh quotes that he asked Meram Maratenberg, when we're speaking here about this type of a tear, and the Gemara is teaching us that we may not sew it up, can we put a patch on the back of the page of the Sefer Torah or glue it together? What would be the halacha? So he said two reasons why not. One is that the Sefer Torah, the number of people that read the Sefer Torah at the same time. And since a number of people are reading from the Sefer Torah at the same time, each one pulls it towards himself. And this type of glue or patch is likely to tear. Another reason he said that he doesn't allow it is because we're going to learn soon in the Gemara exactly what material may be used to sew together Sefer Torah. And a patch and glue are not included. The Rosh himself disagrees. And the Rosh says that our Gemara is focused only on how and when we may sew it together. Because as we're going to see, when it's sewed together and it's too much sewing, it's not that nice. But something that's put together by a patch or something that's put together by glue, it looks perfect, and therefore it's always going to be mutter. So again, b'sholosh al yitbar. Amalei Rabbi Zutra l'Rashi. Hacham Rabbi Yirmiyah, midifte mishmei d'rova. Had amrinen b'sholosh al yitbar. This that we're learning, that if the tear goes through three rows, we shouldn't sew it together. Lo yamar al batikta. That's only by an old Sefer Torah. The cloth is already old. And therefore, the tear will be much more noticeable. And the sewing up of that tear will be much more noticeable. And we know, as we've learned, the Torah Kedosh says, Zeh keli vanveyu. And the halacha therefore teaches us the halacha, hisno lefon of a mitzvah, asei lefon of sukkano, lulavno. We have to always make something as nice as possible, and this is not nice. Av charata, if it's new cloth, less lamba, we're not, the tear and the sewing won't be that noticeable, and therefore we could be lenient. And as Rashi explains, on a old cloth, the cloth is darker, and therefore the sewing is more noticeable. When it's a wider cloth, it's not that noticeable. Rabbeinu Yonason says a different pshat. By an older cloth, if you have this tear, it's likely to tear again because it's already brittle. But newer cloth, which is stronger, we need not be concerned. Says the Gemara V'loya Tikta Tikta Mamish. When we speak about old, it doesn't mean specifically old. V'loya Charta Charta Mamish. When we speak about new, it doesn't mean specifically new. Elahar D'loya Fitzin. They used to treat the cloth with different materials. So he says, Har D'loya Fitzin, if it's not treated with a Fitzin, and Har D'loya Fitzin, that if it was treated with a Fitzin, it looks dark, and therefore you shouldn't sew it up. But if there was no afitzin, then it's wider. And like we just explained, when it's wider, it's fine. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mili, this that we could sew it up, says you can only use gidin, the veins of an animal, a kosher animal, aval, the garden, to use material, loy, that would not be permissible. So this is the way Rashi explained the Gemara, that any cloth that was treated with a fitzim is considered a cloth yoshon. Any cloth that was not processed with a fitzim is treated like chadosh, because if it's treated with a fitzim, it looks blacker. So ask the Chazon Ish that how was that going to work with what we said a moment ago atikta mamish. Is loy atikta atikta mamish? So how do we understand that if we're saying that that's the pshat and afitzin? And therefore, Rabbeinu Yonatan says is that the difference between an old klaf and a new klaf is in the strength of the klaf. A new klaf, as we said before, is stronger than an old klaf. And now the Gemara says that if it's a fitzin, it's stronger. And again, since if it's a fitzin, it's stronger, then the halacha will be that we could sew it up. If it's not a fitzin, it's not that strong. And since if it's not a fitzin, it's not that strong, therefore, the halacha is that it's not that strong, and therefore you can't sew up that much. What's going to the halacha when the tear is between different columns? Ben shita l'shita. What is the halacha when the tear is between different lines? My, what is the halacha? And the Gemara says, Teiku. The Gemara remains with a Teiku on this question. Amrav Zeira, Amrav Chanan, Amrav. Mezuzah shekosva, shtayim, shtayim. If the mezuzah was written, each row only has two words, the halacha is kshera. That, as we discussed in our previous shiur, that when we write a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has to be wide enough to write the word L'mishpachos Seichem three times. But that halacha says, is teaching us the Gemara, only applies by Sefer Torah, not by a mezuzah. Next case, Ibailu, they asked the question, if the way the mezuzah was written was shtayim, two words, shalosh, then three words, and then the next one is one word, mahu. What would be halacha on that mezuzah? Amar Nachman by Yitzchak Kolshkein, that certainly it's kosher, shasar kishira. They made it, this is writing is the same style of the Shira that we have in Parshas Peshalach, and therefore it's certainly kosher. Meisvei asked the Gemara, also Kishira, if somebody wrote the Sefer Torah like a Shira Kamaisai, or he wrote the Shira in the Sefer Torah, not like the Shira is written, the Loch is Psura, and the Gemara is assuming that just like the Sefer Torah that wasn't written properly, so too will be the halacha by the mezuzah. Since it's the Gemara, Kitanya, when was that halacha said? By Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has to be written, the Shira has to be written the way the Shira has to be written, and the rest of the Sefer Torah has to be written the way the rest of the Sefer Torah has to be written. But that isn't the halacha regarding mezuzahs. It the Nami Amar Rabbah B'Bchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, formerly Amar Rabbah Achah B'Bchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mezuzah also shtayim v'sholosh v'achas. The mezuzah was written that fashion kshera. However, ulavad, one thing she should not do is that shlo yisanek kuba, that the first line should have only one letter, and the second line should have two letters, and the third line should have three letters. It looked like a V, upside down V. Vachlo yisanek zonov, or vice versa. You shouldn't have it that the top line has three letters, three words. The second line has two words, and the bottom line has one word. It looks like a V. The mezuzah ends with the words, L'man yibri yamechem bein v'nechem al-adoma, asher nishba Hashem la'vesechem, losis lahem kimeh shemayim al-aretz. Amar Rav Chisda, so now the Gemara debates, how should that be written? Rav Chisda says, al-aretz, the words al-aretz should be on the bottom line, shita achroina. There should be no, those should be the only two words on the bottom line of the mezuzah. But that is a machlokes, how exactly is that done? So that means the line on top of it is going to have the words losus lem kimei shemayim. Ikad amri b'sof shita, the words al haaretz should be directly under the words kimei shemayim. Ikad amri b'tchilas shita, the words al haaretz should be under the words losus lem. Manda amar b'sof shita, the mandam that says that Kamea Shemayim should be under the words Al-Aretz, it's explained because the Pasuk says, as we said, Laman Yibri Mechame Venechem Adoma, Ashnishba Hashema Vesechem, Losulam Kimei Shemai Malaritz. The Pasuk is teaching us that Shemai, Gilgoyva Shemai Malaritz. Just like the Shemai is above the Oritz, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Ariches Yomim. The man Omer that says that it should be at the beginning of the bottom line, that Dala Oritz should be on the beginning of the bottom line, says, B'tchil Shita, Ke'eche Demarch Shemayim Oritz, the Shemayim and Oritz are far away, as much far away as possible. I saw that the Sefer Taras Kodesh, quoting the Mashal, explains this Machloikis, because there are two aspects to Mezuzah. One is that it gives us Arichas Yomim, and the other thing is that it saves us from doing Averis. And that's the question, what are we trying to express by writing the Mezuzah? If we're trying to express the Arichas Yomim, that we will have long life because of the Mezuzah, so then we have Kimei Shemayim on top of Al Oritz, that we want to separate them. If it's coming to teach us that it's going to separate from Averis, so that when the Torah speaks about long life, it speaks about Kamei Shemayim, ours, one on top of the other. When the Torah speaks about not doing Averis, it says, Kruchoik Mizrach Mimarev, Hirchik Mimenas Pishuenu. And therefore, that's a pasuk that represents in the width. And therefore, that opinion will hold that the Oritz is at the bottom, at the beginning of the bottom line.